sinful acts, we are not sure to be achieving the Almighty Allah's mercy by praying for ourselves. In an interesting story and tradition, Abdullah bin Jundab relates, I was in Arafah, and while I was coming out, I met Ibrahim bin Shu'aib, and so I greeted him. One of his eyes was injured, while his other eye had turned red, as if it was a clot of blood. So I said to him, one of your eyes is already afflicted. I fear for you the other one. Because he had understood the reason of these afflictions, he said to him, reduce weeping a little. He said, nay, by Allah, O Abu Muhammad, I have not prayed for myself today even a single supplication.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So I said, then who did you pray for? And in my terms, why are your eyes like that? What were you doing in this holy place and this holy sacred time? He replied, I prayed for my brothers. I have heard Abu Abdullah Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, whosoever prays for his brother in his absence, Allah appoints an angel over him who says to him, and for you is the double of that. So I wanted to pray for my brothers while the angel should pray for me. For I doubt in the acceptance of the prayer for myself, whereas I do not doubt the prayer of the angel on my behalf. So you see, this has been given the utmost importance, giving preference to our brothers, giving preference to the angels praying for us instead of praying for ourselves. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to grant us the ability to conquer and overcome difficult situations in our lives by resorting to the Almighty Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Yeah, Allah, yeah, Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you.
U.S. President Donald Trump says that the upcoming November 3rd elections are going to be rigged.
So we're asking for a lot of trouble. And no, do I want to see a date change? No. But I don't want to see a crooked election. This election will be the most rigged election in history.
For the American voter, this seems all too true. According to a new poll by the Hill-Harris X National Survey, Republican and Democratic voters equally believe in the possibility of the 2020 election being rigged. The poll says that at least 37% of Republicans and 36% of Democrats believe that November's election will ultimately be rigged. This comes as the U.S. has decided to expand postal voting in November's presidential election. Due to public health concerns, more than one-third of the U.S. will cast their vote by post. Individual U.S. states control their own voting rules for federal elections, and many are looking to increase postal voting to prevent large gatherings at polling stations on election day. Critics say people could vote more than once via absentee ballots and in person. Aside from that, there are allegations of double voting in early voting states. The southern U.S. state of Georgia top election official announced that as many as 1,000 voters may have double voted in the state's primary elections in June. Voter fraud can take many different forms, according to the Conservative Heritage Foundation, which has identified 9 different types of election fraud prevalent in the U.S. The most common type is voting by people ineligible to vote, such as non-citizens and convicted felons. Another common voter fraud type, absentee ballot fraud, or obtaining an absentee ballot and filling it out without the knowledge of the actual voter. Other types of election fraud include voter impersonation, vote buying, ballot petition fraud, duplicate voting, and false registrations. Trump takes the issue further and says, in fact, there will be no transition of power if he loses, because he's certain that this upcoming election is, quote, the scam of all time.
Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transfer of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very transfer. We'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
This was Donald Trump's reply to whether or not he will commit to a peaceful transfer of all power after the election. Apparently, U.S. President wants to be president for life. He's hinted at this before. President Trump told donors back in 2018 China's President Xi Jinping was now president for life and added, "I think it's great. Maybe we'll want to give that a shot someday." According to Foreign Policy, Trump is becoming a dictator, and here's how. His systematic efforts to intimidate the media, building an official pro-Trump media network, politicizing the civil service, military, National Guard, or the domestic security agencies, using government surveillance against domestic political opponents, using state power to reward corporate backers and punish opponents, stacking the Supreme Court, enforcing the law for only one side, and fear-mongering, among others. Perhaps this explains his infatuation with Arab despots, especially the ruling families of the Persian Gulf states. Trump's remarks do not only mean he will not necessarily accept the election results. They also amount to inciting sections of his base, white racists in particular, to take to the streets in violent protest if they don't go his way and claim, as he has already predicted, they were rigged. According to U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the situation is out of control. It is no longer a partisan issue.
Where are our Republican colleagues? This is not a partisan issue. Democracy is at stake. And every constituent from every corner of the land, regardless of party or ideology, should be asking their Republican senators to speak out and demand that Donald Trump not be allowed to do what he says he's going to do, and say they will join all of America in standing in the way if he tries.
The U.S. seems to be on the brink of a second civil war. According to a recent poll by the U.S.-based Engagier survey, finds that at least 61% of all Americans are concerned that their country is on the verge of a civil war. Rich Thor, president of Engagier, said, quote, "This is the single most frightening poll result I've ever been associated with." According to Prospect magazine, the U.S. really is a divided nation. It has been since its founding, was violently so during the Civil War and its aftermath, and remains so to this day. Violent unrest has been happening across the U.S. in the years Trump took office, and in 2020 have escalated to worrisome levels. And now one of Trump's greatest backers and former aides, Steve Bannon, says that the U.S. faces civil war, but not only because of the unrest.
For the 3 November election, as we've said, a civil war will start that night with the Democrats trying to steal the election from President Trump.
According to the Alternative Socialist Equality Party, there is no doubt that if Trump wins, he will immediately escalate the suppression of democratic rights and implementation of police state forms of rule. And if he loses, well.
When I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election. And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our First Lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country.
But Joe Biden, President Donald Trump's competitor for the presidency, says Trump will be dragged out of power if he clings onto it after the elections.
This president's going to try to steal this election. This is the guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent.
Have you ever considered what would happen if the election result came out as you being the winner and Trump refused to leave?
Yes, I have. And I was so damn proud. Here you have 4 chiefs of staff coming out and ripping the skin off of Trump. And you have so many rank-and-file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
According to the Washington Post, the first American Civil War began because slaveholding Southern nationalists refused to recognize the lawful election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860. Many Americans believe that the wounds from that war were never solved. The current rift between the Republicans and Democrats shows that old scores just haven't been settled. With threats of fraud and a civil war, Americans are stuck in a never-ending abyss of a fractured system that has seemingly long forgotten them.
This is for a better life. For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
In the name of the one who loves us more than we love him, in the name of Allah, the subtle, the most generous. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program for a better life here on IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. As I said in the previous program, dear brothers and sisters, we should lower our expectations and not be angry when people do not show respect to us. We should have reached a certain maturity, a certain level of self-confidence that we should not demand that from others. If someone disrespects you even, you should have such a self-confidence and have worked on yourself, self-development, self-help, whatever you want to call it, to such a degree, to such a level that you do not feel offended. And even if you feel offended, dear brothers and sisters, in the beginning of your self-help journey, you should work on yourself. Don't express that you have become offended. Work on yourself and just let it go. Let it go and continue with your life. As I said in the previous program, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi did not expect others to respect him. He did not consider himself better than others. It is the community's duty to respect him, but he wanted to show that one should not expect others to respect him, nor should he consider himself better than others. The Messenger of Allah did not consider himself better than his nation. Instead, he considered himself their servant. And when someone, an Arab Bedouin, entered Medina, he said that you're eating like a slave, you're sitting down on the ground like a slave, you're not acting like the kings of other regions. He said, should I not be the best of the slaves of Allah? Should I not be the best of the servants of Allah? And you have the good example of our dear Prophet Isa al-Masih, Jesus Christ alayhi salam, where he washed the feet of the companions, the 12 Hawariyun, the 12 disciples of Isa al-Masih. He said, I ask you for a favor, please do not say no. And when they accepted, he sat down on the ground and he washed their feet. And he said, I'm doing this so that you may do this for the coming generations, for the other people coming after you. And that you would not feel the arrogance, that the arrogance would not enter you. These are examples for all of us. So the noble Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, did not expect anything from his companions. He was a servant sent by Allah. For this reason, his reward is also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respecting and loving his family, which has been ordered, is for the Muslims. It is a benefit for the Muslims themselves. So when we recite the supplication, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, O Allah, send your blessings upon the Prophet and his progeny. This is a benefit for ourselves and not primarily for the Prophet. Yes, the Prophet will reach higher and loftier stations in spirituality in the hereafter. But it is also for ourselves, especially the religious scholars and the seminary students should follow this strategy of the Prophet. And also the layman. The Prophet's example is an example for all of us, not only for the religious scholars and the seminary students, but it is primarily for them who study in the Islamic seminaries, and also for everyone else, that we should follow the strategy of the Prophet. One of the great scholars said that a scholar should expect people to throw stones at him when he leaves his house, and when that does not happen, he should be thankful. A scholar should not expect people to greet him, treat him with respect, and kiss his hands, or open up a spot so he will sit in the most prominent rank or prominent line in the mosque, for example, in the first line of the mosque, for example. No, that should not be the case. The scholar should not have such expectations. He should actually be the one who says salam first.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
We are the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. We have heard about how much he has been tortured, how much he has been hurt by the people, and how much he prayed for them, and how much he asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his nation. We have heard how bad he has been treated, and how much he has been hit by stones and bones, for example, in the city of Ta'if, and also in Mecca. So I should not say that I am a scholar, or I am a Sayyid, or I am a Muslim. I should be respected more than the non-Muslim. These kind of expectations should not exist within us. We should self-develop ourselves and help ourselves work on our personalities so that these kind of expectations vanishes, disappears, annihilates. So if someone does not respect you, dear brothers and sisters, we should not become angry. The prophets and the imams, alayhim assalam, did not have these kind of expectations. You should not expect others to serve you. Instead, you should serve mankind. Do not desire to become higher or better than others. Instead, follow the path of the Prophet and the pure Imams. Do recall the example of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when he, in a small group of companions were in the desert and they were gathering. All of them said, we would do this task and that task. And the prophet stood up and said, and then I would make the fire. I will make the fire. And they said, no, O prophet, you should not make anything. We should make it for you. We should make all those tasks for you. And the prophet said, no, Allah does not love the one who does not do anything and let others do everything for him. So the prophet stood up and did his share of the work. Someone was cooking, someone was gathering wood, and someone was butchering the animal, and the prophet was making the fire. So we should serve mankind, Muslim or non-Muslim. Do not desire to become higher or better than others. We should follow the path of the prophets and the imams. We should not expect greetings. And in this regard, of course, the people have their own duty. That's all for today's program, For a Better Life, here on IRIB English Radio. Till next time, dear brothers and sisters, lower your expectations, have anger management, and take the middle course in everything. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your mercy, your love is all I need. It's all I need. It's all I need. All I need. All I need. Oh, oh, oh. All I need.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a problem, an important problem, which is often inquired about and investigated and questioned by people, ordinary people, as well as scholars. And that is the question regarding the relationship between God's essence and His attributes. The problem we're here regarding this relationship is this, that there's a multiplicity of attributes which have been ascribed to God, attributed to Him in the Quran and in the traditions. For example, God has been described as having knowledge. God has been described as having power, as having light, as having will. If we say that these attributes are internal to God's essence and different from one another, it means that He has parts. We talked about the fact that God doesn't have parts. He's a simple reality in some of our previous discussions. If we say that they're external to his essence, it leads to another problem, and that is the problem which is the idea that God would need something else besides himself in order to possess these attributes. If these attributes were additional to his essence, external to him, they would be different from him. At the same time, without them, he wouldn't have these attributes. So he would need something besides himself in order to possess these attributes. Obviously, these attributes couldn't be his own creations, because it would mean that, in essence, it would mean he would need himself in order to possess these attributes, which implies a contradiction. So they would have to be beings which were divine like him. This would lead to a multiplicity in God and also a composition in his being, as has been indicated in the first sermon of the Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali says, فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَهُ وَمَنْ قَرَنَهُ فَقَدْ سَنَّاهُ وَمَنْ سَنَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَزَّأَهُ وَمَنْ جَزَّأَهُ فَقَدْ جَهِلَ. If somebody ascribes attributes which are additional to God, it means that he has paired him with something else besides himself, which grants him those attributes. And in this case, it would mean that he has ascribed a multiplicity to God. It would be have to be a number of gods besides the one God that we believe in. And in this case, he would be composed of parts, and this wouldn't be God. We said that a God, in essence, is something simple in nature. He's not composed of parts, and there's no multiplicity in him. So if we say that these attributes were internal to him, it would lead to him being composed of parts. If they were external to him, it would lead to a multiplicity within his essence. What are we to do? How do we resolve this paradox or this problem? It's possible for somebody to say that, why can't we say that these attributes are conceptually different from one another, but they have one instance in the external world, God's essence, without him being composed of parts? The problem with this in the minds of some people was that they assumed that in this case it would lead to a contradiction. It would mean that one thing would be a multiplicity of things, which is a contradiction, and therefore impossible. Due to this problem, a lot of people, such as the Mu'tazila, were of the opinion that God doesn't possess attributes. Rather, his essence represents the attributes, in the sense that he doesn't have knowledge, but he performs the actions that a being with knowledge would perform. Or he doesn't have power, but he performs the actions that a being with power would perform. He doesn't have life, but he performs the action that a being with life would perform. These are the different ways in which this problem has been resolved. However, none of them are satisfactory. We will look at the satisfactory answer to this problem and its resolution in some of our forthcoming discussions. Until next time, I'm your host, Shahzaga. We were looking at the relationship between God's attributes and his essence. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of drawing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 1st, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us normally, but these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic, unfortunately, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including MS Serena Vasaraju from India, Andrei Martiniuk from Russia, and Mohammad Briel from Malaysia. I really appreciate your time and consideration in sending us reception reports, MS Serena Vasaraju, Andrei Martiniuk, and Mohammad Briel. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here, including Diwan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. From India, we have an email from Ram Babu Kumar. Also, Nektarios Manousos from Greece has sent us an email. From India again, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners. And also, Nicolas Perrin from France has sent us an email. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. We will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with many emails and letters from our dear listeners from around the world. First of all, here we have an email from Nicolas Perrin from France. Nicolas says, "Hi, and thank you for the kind mail. I like to listen to the radio broadcasts and stations from foreign countries. By listening to foreign radios, I can get information on the life and culture of the people living in other countries while I'm sitting in my home here in France. And I guess it is so interesting." Sincerely, Nicolas from France. Nicolas from France, I sincerely appreciate your email and thank you for your consideration for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And as you mentioned in your email, radio is a means for getting information about the life and culture of the people living in other countries while you're at home. Yes, radio is very educating. In this regard, we in IRIB English Radio have prepared many different programs, including the programs related to the culture of our country, Islamic Republic of Iran, and it's especially good to listen to them when, during the coronavirus pandemic, it's really special to sit at home and listen to these programs while you cannot travel to other foreign countries. As you mentioned, you've listened to the programs about culture and life of different countries, including Iran. So you can listen to programs like Close Up Iran, Iranian Market, or other programs in IRIB English Radio and enjoy them. Nicolas, anyway, don't miss other programs in IRIB English Radio and our website, parstoday.com/en. There you can find the archives of our program and enjoy them. Anyway, write to us soon and keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. Also from India, we have an email from Ram Babu Kumar. Ram says, "Dear friend at IRIB English Radio, greetings from India. I want to say that please add our club name in your mailing list and send us all types of materials issued by your radio service to our postal address. The useful information about your programs, program schedule, and frequencies is also welcomed. Thank you in advance." Rab Babu Kumar from India, greetings from Iran, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. "Surely, I will inform my colleagues about adding your club name in our radio's mailing list. And regarding your request about sending program schedule or other souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, as we have mentioned several times during our previous programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So Ram Babu Kumar from India, please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world, and then we will be back on track and send you the materials, including program schedule, frequencies, and QSL cards or other IRB English Radio souvenirs. But during these times, you can find our program's schedule and frequencies in our website with the address parstoday.com/en, and you can enjoy our programs there. Ram Babu Kumar, please, in the future emails, tell us which programs in IRB English Radio you like the best, which programs you enjoy more. Tell us your views about our programs and send our greetings to your club. Thank you again, Ram Babu Kumar from India. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with more emails and letters from our dear listeners around the world. Well, dear listeners, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Jayanta says, "It was quite refreshing to get your beautiful email. It's always a pleasure to receive messages from my favorite IRIB English radio station. Hope this letter finds you all in the best of health and spirits. My prayers go out to Allah to keep your team and, in fact, all the friendly Iranian people from harms. We in India are in the midst of the scourge of the deadly coronavirus pandemic. Through effective testing and quarantine, the number of affected people is being attended to. Number of positive cases are now beginning to decline. There is countrywide lockdown in selective regions. People are strictly maintaining social distancing in economic and social activities, and there has been compulsory wearing of face masks to control the spread of the disease. Hopefully, things are under control, though the country's economy and GDP have been seriously affected. Government is trying its best efforts in recovering all sectors of the economy. I am delighted to hear that IRIB has started to dispatch QSL cards as the situation returns to normal. I would request you to send me some Iranian postage stamps for collection if it is possible. With warm regards, Jayanta Chakrabarty. Greetings to you from Iran, and thank you for writing this email to us. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So you described the situation regarding coronavirus in your country, which is in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. You said about testings, lockdowns, hospitalizations. I think this is exactly the same in almost all the countries around the world. And there is no choice except observing the hygienic protocols, including maintaining social distancing, wearing face coverings, the protocols that are compulsory in all countries around the world. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, as you said, as the situation goes back to normal, Then IRB English Radio will send you paper QSL cards and as you have requested, postage stamps for your collection and also postcards. Thank you again. We wish you all the best. Join the Chakra Party from India. Stay safe and healthy and write to us soon. Also from Bangladesh, we have an email from Diwan Rafiqul Islam. Diwan Rafiqul Islam says, "Dear staff, hope you're keeping fine. I'm sending you this email from the beautiful city of Nawgaon, northern Bangladesh. I'm fine and the weather here is very hot. Thank you again for your very useful and informative programs, which I really enjoy, especially the news and political commentaries. Keep up the good job. Greetings to you from Iran and lots of thanks for this email. Diwan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh, I hope you're doing fine. You said it's still hot in your beautiful residence, the city of Nawgaon from northern Bangladesh. Yeah, it's not very hot in Iran, but it's not cool yet, though we are in the season fall. Anyway, it's good to know that you found IRB English radio programs informative. Thank you. Thank you for writing to us. And thank you for letting us know your views about our programs. Stay safe and healthy. Diwan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, we will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. From Greece, we have an email from Nectarios Manousas. Nectarios Manousas from Greece says, "Dear friends at IRB English Radio, I would like to report the reception of your medium wave broadcast here in Greece. If my reception report of your program was correct, I hope that you will send me your QSL verification card of your eQSL, which will do too. In case that you will need more program details for the verification, please let me know so I can get back to you in the future. You can also find few technical details of my reception, which I hope it will be useful to your technical staff. It was really fun listening to your broadcasts. I learned things for sure. That's the magic of the radio. And I definitely would like to hear from you again in the future. Till then, best 73s. Nectarios Manousas from Greece, we are so grateful for your email. And thank you for letting us know that you're so committed to IRB English Radio. And we're so glad that you find our radio enjoyable. And as you said, radio is an educating means, and that is the magic of the radio. Regarding your request about paper QSL cards, it's halted temporarily since the coronavirus spread throughout the world, so we follow the hygienic protocols and wait until the disease is controlled around the world. Thank you, Nectarios Manousas from Greece. We are looking forward to hearing you very soon in the future. Also, as the time tells me, we have to skip to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Hope you'll enjoy it.
Yes, my name's Mr. Christopher Lewis. I've been a listener to the IRIB English Radio for nearly 16, 17 years, probably a little bit longer now. I'm just interested in shortwave broadcasts in general, Iran in particular, and events in and around the Middle East. I've just had a general interest in shortwave for a long, long time, and very interested in cultures as well.
My opinion about the radio is that it's got one of the best international news channels that I've come across on any international media organisation. I tune in every day to IRIB English. Of course, the news focuses not just on domestic affairs in Iran, but also Iran's view on world events, not only surrounding countries, but also countries, you know, further afield. I tune in mainly to get the perspective of the Persian Gulf region, of which IRIB proposes to broadcast more news about it. They're telling the truth. It's very clear and concise. The news is well researched. It's very well presented. So I just recommend listeners who want an accurate view of life in Iran and Middle East, tune to IRIB English News and other language services for a true and very accurate picture.
Listeners, here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن.
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا.
Please send us your emails to our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the Islamic greeting of peace. We say it in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. In the program, we have our dear guest and scholar and a PhD student in economics, Mr. Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid, and welcome once again to our program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
All right, dear listeners, let's delve and dive into the first question here from you, dear listeners, and that is Islam changing through the growing pressures of globalization? Globalization, what is that, Sayyid? Could you explain the term first of all, globalization?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this term globalization or globalization, obviously there are two different pronunciation. Me having the Indian Pakistani accent, we
maybe
know that
when
two
right
vowels
one.
Comes in between, like right. In between them, any word comes, we pronounce them as their own actual, obviously, pronunciation. For example, some people pronounce divorce. Its actual pronunciation is divorce.
Right.
In our country, they pronounce it as divorce.
Divorce, really? Okay.
So that's the ruling that we learned
right.
According to the rules. Anyways, the globalization pressure means that obviously this world is becoming a global village. And people are interconnected to each other through
right.
internet, through media, through telephone, IT. There are different means.
Mashallah.
And in today's world, obviously communicating with each other is not hard as it was before. And we know about the things that are happening in the world within seconds. Obviously, we get the news.
So I can sit here in Qom and know about what happened in a small village
yes.
in northern Europe, for example, or south of Africa, in a small village, what happened there. I can receive that information within seconds.
You can receive it within seconds if it is conveyed through the media, obviously. Mm. And at this time, obviously, we need this mean of news or maybe the WhatsApp, you know, the groups that are there, or Facebook
right.
or Instagram. At this time, this is the means in order to reach to that information. But maybe in future, you can just know what is happening over there by looking at your cell phone, for example.
Right.
And it indicates you what is happening at the different points of the world. So
right. that
technology
is one aspect
is
to it. That's information.
Yes.
The information
technology
has improved dramatically.
Yes.
Another impact is the cultures. The cultures
itself.
has mixed a little bit.
Yes. Obviously,
people
we have in London. They say there are 50 cultures or more than 50 cultures are living
sure.
in one city, which
right.
is London. So it's a multicultural
right.
city. Almost the capitals of different countries, the big countries, they have become multicultural. You can say cities, they
right.
are converted into the multicultural because the people from different parts of the world are living there. They have their own culture, they have their own, you can say, traditions. So in that sense also, we call it as a the part of the globalization. Now, the question is, is Islam changing through the growing pressures of globalization? Islam itself do not changes because Allah said, "Inna dina inda Allah al-Islam." The religion in the eyes of Allah is Islam, and Islam is completed on the day of Ghadir, which the Prophet has announced on the 10th of AH, Hijri.
Could you be more detailed here? You mean the Aqeedah is not being changed?
The actual Islam.
The Aqeedah is the same.
Yes, the actual Islam which was
the
sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the same. Why? Because the Quran is same.
So the belief system is one.
The
that would not be changed.
Yes.
But what about the Ahkam, the verdicts, the rulings?
Verdicts,
the
rulings
the Sharia.
Are also according to the teachings of the Quran. They are also not changing. Yes, due to the circumstances, a slight change will come. But that is the method is changing, we can say, not the actual ruling. For example, if someone becomes sick or someone is in the plane, what he should do? Can he pray? Where to pray? Can he pray while like sitting on the seat?
Or if he is on the
yes.
moon, towards which direction should he pray and so on?
The main rule is there. You need to pray. What is the method? That is according to the circumstances.
Cloning is another
yes.
Cloning
is another
verdict.
So. Yeah. We looked at the main idea is that, for example, sidation of the moon. Every month, in the month of Ramadan, we have this fight. Have we seen the moon or not? The actual ruling is to have the sighting the moon. You need to see the moon with your eyes. Now, the method is, can you see with the telescope or not? These are the methods.
Right.
So we cannot say that the Islam is changing due to the methods.
No, all right, what about the rights of women?
It's all same.
The rights of animals.
It's all same. If we see the...
So that's a kind of stagnation, isn't it?
No. It is not. The stagnation is where you do not change your methods. The
right.
rulings are there, obviously, but the methods are changed. That's why I said, with the time, when the time passes, when the new technology is coming and there are new things, the methods will be changed, but the main rule is there.
The main rule you need to, you should not change the main rule. For example, you need to believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one God. Now when there are different things, there are the multicultural, right, multi-religions, can we also believe on some other, someone else's God?
No, I'm thinking more about the verdicts which has to do with rights, for example, between woman and man, male and female. For example, when it comes to diya, the blood money, and it's half of the men. So then you got non-Muslims, or even less than the Muslims, and so on. That's the old traditional fiqh style that we have. Well, what about today? Can that be changed?
Well, today the method is changed now. You need to give the money now.
Obviously, so it has to be equal.
It has to be equal. Yes, the criteria is
the same.
But then
there is change then. There is no stagnation here. Then we have a change.
We have a change. We have a change in the method, not in the actual ruling.